Welcome to The Lorraine Murphy Show. If you're anything like me, you want a successful, abundant business, epic energy, a growth mindset, vibrant health, and beautiful relationships. And this podcast sets out to help us achieve all of that together. I've been in the entrepreneurship arena for almost a decade now and have mentored hundreds of other business owners. So I know what goes on behind the scenes and what it takes to succeed. This podcast shares the tips, tricks, learnings, and lessons I lean on in order to blend the different facets of my life as an entrepreneur, author, wife, and mama to two gorgeous little humans. Let's jump in to today's episode. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of The Lorraine Murphy Show. I'm very excited and also a little bit touched to be sharing this episode with you this week. So I'm taking a little bit of a break from the entrepreneurship theme this week because this episode is my 100th episode of The Lorraine Murphy Show, which is just crazy. And I feel really bad actually because the 2-year anniversary of the show slipped by in the midst of all the kind of settling in with our beautiful new baby Wilder. So the first episode of the show went live on the 9th of August in 2019. And the episode that season actually went live the same month that my third book came out and the same month that we had a brand new website created as well. So I remember that quarter in the business was pretty full on. So I wanted to take a beat just to, reflect on the last 2 years, the last 100 episodes, and share with you how this podcast has helped me pass on some of the feedback that I've gotten from you beautiful listeners, and also to pass on as well to if I was to go back and start again, or if you're someone who's sitting there thinking about starting a podcast, what's the top pieces of advice that I would want to hear back then? It'll be a bit of a wide-ranging episode, this one. And also what I'm going to do is do a countdown of the top 10 episodes. So that's in terms of downloads, the most downloaded episodes. I'm going to do a countdown from number 10 all the way back to number 1, just like the Triple J 100. Yes, I sound like a real Aussie, don't I? But maybe not, because I didn't do that very smoothly. And really, this podcast is one of the best things I've ever done in my business. And I think that's for a few different reasons. First of all, there's a real intimacy in podcasts. I really find that people read my books, which is really kind of them. They follow me on Instagram. They get my emails that I send every week. And I feel with the podcast, there's a level of intimacy to the podcast that doesn't seem to be the case with other channels and how I connect with my audience. And I think the reason for that is that it's like we're just having a one-on-one conversation, you and I. Chances are, as you're listening to this, you're off for a walk, you're cleaning the kitchen, you're maybe settling in for your work day. And there's a real sense of, with the podcast, it kind of follows you around your day. Like, it's a really intimate part of your day, as opposed to maybe a book or social media, which you feel like you pick up, you engage, and you put it back down again. I feel like podcasts are more, it's almost by osmosis, if that makes sense. Like, they're just there, they're omnipresent in your life when you choose to listen to them. And what I think is the sweetest thing ever is how many people know my name. People's kids know my name because they listen to the show so much with their kids in the car or the kids around the house. So that's really lovely when people tell me that. I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm part of your family in some way. So there really is that beautiful intimacy through the podcast that I don't necessarily experience with the other channels that I create. The other reason I love the podcast is it's just easy. I just talk. It's so good. And I'm obviously a big fan of the written word as well, but there's something very freeing about just sitting down in front of a microphone and talking, or having an interview with someone that I really, really admire as a guest on the show, because you just flow. You don't have to go back and edit yourself. You don't have to check punctuation, check spelling. It just flows. And I really, really love the ease of podcasting. And I know my friend Kylie Camps talked about that as well. When she was celebrating a milestone in her podcast, it's that sense of ease that comes with podcasting. And I know that's not necessarily going to be for everyone, but that's really something that I experience myself with the show. The other thing I love about it as well is I get to go really deep with brilliant guests, and it never fails to amaze me how open my guests are to sharing their lives, their wins, but also their biggest challenges, and the vulnerability and the honesty that so many people show up with on the show. It's really quite something. And I know for me, I've really learned this, that there's only so much that I can share with, there's only so much I can help other people by sharing the wins. What people really learn from is that the challenges, the blocks, the issues that were overcome in order to get those wins and those successes. So I'm incredibly grateful to all of the guests who've been on the show, because they have been, yeah, so generous with the sharing and the transparency and the sharing of their stories. So That's been really, really beautiful part of the show as well. Another reason that I love it as well is that it seems to have a slightly different audience. So I think I made the assumption that, well, people who follow me on Instagram also get my emails, and then they must also be the people who listen to the podcast. So I think that's been interesting. I've been quite curious about that there's people who listen to the podcast who don't get my emails, they don't follow me on Instagram, and they're just quietly consuming content. And the only reason I know about them is that they come out of the woodwork and normally email and say, hey, I want to work with you, whether it's for a speaking gig or it's for mentoring. So to all you lurkers out there, hello. And I would love to invite you to come and join me on email, join me on Instagram. You can sign up for my emails on my website or through my Instagram profile. And you know, if you want to stay, just listen to the podcast, that's also wonderful. And as I said, that's been it's been an eye-opener for me, just how many people are listening to the podcast that aren't necessarily on other channels. It's pretty cool. But also that comes with a business challenge as well, because I just assume that everyone's seeing, as in all of my community, are seeing all of my things. And it's a good reminder to me to not just assume that someone has seen something on Instagram, for example, that I also need to reference it on the podcast. And ditto that it's not necessarily that everyone who listens, who follows me on Instagram, is also listening on the podcast. So just to make sure that if there's really important messages, whether it's about, for example, my new book coming out, or like the Babyland sale that I did earlier on this year, just to make sure that there's cohesiveness, that I'm sharing the same messages across all channels. If it's key messages, like, as I said, a big sale or something that I'd really like my audience to know about. So that's been interesting as well, that there actually are a slightly different set of listeners to what's on other channels as well. The other really cool thing is that it gives me a chance to test ideas. So I can put together a podcast episode and just say, okay, I wonder if this resonates with people. Is this something that people want to know more about? Listeners want to know more about. And it's been fascinating. The things that I've shared that I didn't actually think would be that big, and I'll get into some of those episodes in a few minutes in this episode. The things that I don't think would be that big end up being huge. And the things that I think, whoa, this is going to be a massive game changer for people as an episode, and it does well, but it doesn't get that traction or that force behind it that maybe another episode might get. So that's been really cool, to use the podcast as an opportunity to test ideas. So if I'm kind of up in the middle of the night breastfeeding Wilder and I think, oh, this could be a really good episode, and I put it out there, it really gives me a chance to test the water with things and see, okay, is this something that people want to know more about? Is it something that people also struggle with, because it's something that I've personally struggled with? And I think a really good example of that was the Making Friends as a Grown-Up episode with Stacey, my mate, because it's something that I've thought about a lot, how we make friends as grown-ups when we don't have the commonality of school or university or jobs to get to know each other, and almost like the forced time together to build those friendships. And it's something that I've thought about for quite a few years now, is like, what's the best way to make friends as a grown-up? And I got Stace on there because she's a friend that we've only known each other for 2 years, and we've developed this really, really beautiful friendship between us. And we got on and we talked about that, and that's been one of the most popular episodes. So that's what one of the things I've really loved about the show is that it gives me that chance to test ideas. And particularly when I was embarking on writing the fourth book, Step Into You, which is coming out in January, small plug there, pre-orders are open right now. There was so much that I realized in the podcast that I had been testing that then went on to be entire chapters of that book. So for example, the money mindset chapter, it's directly pulled from the kind of raw material of what I shared on the podcast, which is really, really cool. So that's been really helpful with the testing of ideas. And that's another reason that I absolutely love doing the show. And I've done 11 seasons, so we've just kicked into the 11th season on the show. And the reason I did that was, to be really, really transparent, I just didn't really know what I wanted my show to be about. If you follow me for a while, you know that there's a lot of things I'm interested in. I'm passionate about entrepreneurship and building businesses. I'm fascinated about how we can really enhance the relationships in our lives. I'm really interested in spirituality and how I can deepen my spiritual connection. I'm fascinated about the different kind of modalities and experts that we can seek out in order to really help us in our lives. So there's so many different areas that I'm interested in that I just didn't feel kicking into the show 2 years ago that I could confidently say, okay, nail my colors to the mast and say, this is what I'm going to talk about. So that's where the seasons came from. And the very first season I did was the expert season. And I haven't actually shared this before. That was so convenient because what I actually did is I had a business group. I was like a mentoring group. And each month I would have an expert that I would interview for that group. So what I actually did for the expert season is I think it was 12 experts that I interviewed. I repurposed all of those interviews and that became my very first podcast season. So that was so helpful because, as I already mentioned, the same month that the podcast was going live, the new website was going live, my third book was coming out. It was probably the most full-on quarter of this business so far. So just to have ready-made content like that ready to go that I could repurpose was so incredibly helpful. The second season I dived into then was life organization, and this was very much built off the back of my second book, Get Remarkably Organized, and the fact that people tend to seek me out for how to make life quicker, easier, more efficient, more productive. So that was the life organization season. I've got a massive pot of green tea here beside me, which I will gradually work my way through as I record this episode for you. The third season was, I called it, it was a mini season. It was the summer holiday season. And this was actually another kind of stroke of genius for myself and the team, I think. Of course, we're highly modest. But what I actually did was, because I had done so many podcast interviews on other people's shows for the book launch in the previous few months, I actually got permission from each of those people whose shows I'd been on and asked them, could I repurpose that interview for my own show, and obviously credit it back that it originally appeared on their show. So that was great. So I think there was 5 or 6 different episodes that went live over that kind of straddled that summer holiday season, which is a funny one because people are out of their usual listening rhythms, but at the same time, they probably do have more time to think about podcasts and books and so on. So that worked really, really well, that summer holiday season as well. The fourth season I did was all around mindset. I interviewed my previous business coach, Ronan. I talked a lot about the mindset techniques that I employ in my own life to keep my mindset strong. The fifth season, and I have to say, I've got a really soft spot for this season, and it's for very, very personal reasons. It was the chicken soup season. So in the middle of ISO last year in Sydney and pretty much all of Australia, I recorded a season called Chicken Soup Conversation. So if you're not familiar with the Chicken Soup for the Soul books, I really suggest you check them out. They're really beautiful books. I got into them when I was a teenager, and I've leaned on them at different times throughout my life when I just need a bit of comfort and calm and a nice, easy, inspirational, soul connecting reading. So I had the idea to do a chicken soup for the soul, but conversations. And for that season, I think there was 6 episodes in that season, I interviewed the people who are closest to me. So I interviewed Wade, I interviewed a couple of my best friends, I interviewed my sister, I interviewed Michelle, who works really, really closely with me in my business. And it was just a really lovely opportunity to talk to people around close to me in a way that maybe I wouldn't. So myself and Wade shared the story of how we met and reflected on our relationship over the 11 years, yes, until that conversation. I have to say my favorite one was my interview with my sister, because it's just a way that we've never talked before, you know, reflecting on our childhood together and how alike we are in some ways, how different we are in some ways, the different travels that we've had together. It was really, really lovely. And I feel like that's an episode that I'll keep to share with both of her. She's got 2 kids as well, to share with our kids one day, because that's us reflecting. It's almost kind of one for the family vault, I think, that conversation. So I loved the chicken soup season. That was season number 5. The 6th season was all about my life lessons. I loved this one as well. And this was me sharing I guess, yeah, the biggest life lessons that I've had over the years, whether it's my career or my relationships, I talk about practicing generosity. I talk about the importance of having mentors around me, the importance of knowing myself. So I talk a lot about behavior profiling and that and personality profiling. So that was the life lessons season was season number six. The seventh season, then I went back to organization. I called it the GSD, Get Shit Done, for the uninitiated. And that was, again, really diving into how we can make our lives more efficient, more productive, calmer, happier, all of the things. And then the eighth season, then I went into business. So it's pretty crazy. I hadn't actually done a business season, given that it's one of my biggest passions. And I think, if I'm really honest, a part of the reason for not getting into that topic until then was I had this sense that business could be, it could be quite niche, if that makes sense, that, well, not everyone listening to my podcast is going to own their own business. And therefore, is that content going to be too niche for a wider audience? So I really, it was a bit of a test and learn with putting out that season. And I absolutely loved doing it. And what I realized is that there were non-entrepreneurs who loved that season, because a lot of the lessons from entrepreneurship and running successful businesses, there's a lot of transferable lessons that you can pick up and drop into, whether you're working at home at the moment or you are an employee. There's a lot of transferable skills or ideas or concepts that you can pull over from entrepreneurship, because if nothing else, entrepreneurship is a quest to make something of ourselves and of this idea that we've been blessed with to have the opportunity to go and create something around. So I think that was really reassuring for me. The downloads were just as high for that season as they were for other seasons. So that felt, I loved doing that season. Got to speak to some really, really incredible people in that one as well in terms of guests. The ninth season was the Step Into You season. So this was all around really all the different levers that we can pull to step into the biggest, brightest, most high-res version of ourselves. And an element of that, made the reason of me doing that, there was two elements to that. One was that I knew that I was going to be writing my Step Into You book when that season was underway. And again, going back to my point earlier, it felt like a really good opportunity to test some ideas and see, okay, what really resonates with people? What information seems to be the most game-changing information as they listen to that season? And the second reason for doing that was I also have my Step Into You program launching around that time as well. So I found that that's been really helpful for me to align what my revenue streams are going to be over the period of that season, because it just means that everything's cohesive and consistent. I'm talking about one major theme. And if people are excited by what I'm sharing in the podcast, then they can go dive deeper with me as part of a paid program. So that was the GSD season. The seventh season was aligned back with organization, which was my Get Remarkably Organized program launch, and ditto for Step Into You. So first motivation was as a testing bed for ideas for the book. And then second was that I had a paid program live at that time called my Step Into You program as well. The 10th season was all about connection. And this was about connection with ourselves, connection with others. And that was kind of a bit of a loose season, but there were so many different episodes that I had the idea to create, and the common theme throughout those was the theme of connection. So that's the why for creating that season. And then the 11th season, which is what we're in right now, is all about entrepreneurship. So I'm going back to business now, and I'm really loving what I'm putting out there. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes as well. So there are the different seasons. If there's a season that you've missed, I would really invite you to go back and dive in, because each season really, it's felt like it's really had its own energy. It's had its own reason for being. And depending on where you're at in your life right now, or you might be in future, I would love for you to consider that those seasons as a bit of a toolkit for you to go back and dive into if and when you feel like you need a bit of a pep up, or just more of a rounded view on those particular areas, whether it's getting shit done, or it's nurturing your mindset, or it's just some comfort, which is what I think the chicken soup season was all about. Okay, still sipping green tea. I'll let you know when it starts to kick in. It is my favorite pep up of choice. I actually had a cup of cacao yesterday, and I got the rattles from cacao, and I just don't seem to get it from green tea. 100% get it from coffee, but green tea just seems to fit really, really well for some reason. So what I want to take you through now is a top 10 countdown. And there was actually some surprises in this for me. So AJ on my team ran a little report and put together the top 10 episodes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to step back through them. So I'm going to start with number 10 and then work my way back to number one. And number one is the most downloaded episode. So I'm wondering for longtime listeners, if you can guess what the number one episode is. I think you probably can. Let's see if you're right. So the 10th, so number 10, coming in at number 10 in my fake Triple J Hot 100 charts, is an episode called, it's GSD Surprise Episode, and it's the one where I dive into organization with my husband, Wade Tink, so that's the title. And with this one, it was actually a bonus episode. It was the same time as my launch for my Get Remarkably Organized program. And we had, myself and Wade had gotten together on the podcast to talk about organization before, and this was, I'd been getting a lot of questions from my community around organization and how we manage things in our relationship. So I got him back on to talk about that topic again, and I actually listened to this the other day. Wade kept coming into the kitchen and switching it off. It was on Monday, and I kept switching it back on because I just feel like we had really lovely energy in that episode together. I really, really enjoyed it. It was very fun. And I also think we managed to share quite a few nuggets about what's really helped us in kind of keeping our shit together as much as we can in our relationship. We talked about what it's really like to live with me and me on my organization mission. And we also talked very openly about how our approaches to organization are similar and also very, very different. And this episode was actually recorded as COVID was kind of kicking off last year. He was working from home. He was dealing with some epic changes in his business. And we also answered some kind of more broader questions from my community as well. So that was episode number 10. Episode number 9, I mentioned this one already, was making friends as a grown-up with Stacey. So Stacey and I met, she actually approached me after a yoga class. I didn't realize she'd been seeing me in yoga classes for months and hadn't said hello yet. And I'd been following her on Instagram. She sent me some really cool recipes and we were following each other on Instagram. And I didn't put two and two together that she was the cute blonde in my yoga class. So we met up for a chai, I think the week after our yoga class. We started walking together. And I didn't actually think, I've got some friends that I've made friends with a grown up, like Jules is a friend that I've made as a grown up, Leela is too. So I've got friends that I've made as a grown up, but myself and Stace in a much more condensed period of time got really, really close. And I was really keen to explore that because I know I've experienced loneliness a lot as a grown up, particularly as someone who lives on the other side of the world from where my kind of, I guess, my foundation base of friends are, whether it's school friends from, you know, high school or the two universities I attended or my first jobs. You know, I've moved away from those people. And then I moved to the UK, lived there for 3 years. Most of my really good friends were actually colleagues from the jobs that I worked in then. And that was a very different time of working because I was footloose and, you know, what do you say, single, footloose and fancy free. And I built really great friendships with a lot of those women because we worked together, we socialized together in the evenings, we had wines, cheap Sauvignon Blanc and potato chips on Fridays in the office, kitchen. There was a lot of bonding, almost like that forced bonding that you get just from being around each other so much. And I don't think it's as easy to make friends in the workplace when you get to that next life stage where maybe you do have children or you've got a partner or maybe you're commuting a bit further to work, that there isn't as much of an opportunity to get to know people outside of work. So I was really keen to explore that with Stace because, as I said, we've built a really, really great relationship. And it's almost like fast tracked. That relationship has felt quite fast tracked. I know as I'm recording this, we're in the middle of a lockdown and Stace has been the closest friend to me during this time. We've really kept up our walks. We've checked in on each other. She's got a lot going on with her renovation. And she's just, I wrote in the show notes for this episode, she's a gold standard friend. I think she's, for me, she's probably the best example of someone who's really committed to their female friendships. And I've learned so much and also learned about how many failings I have as a friend because I just, she's taught me a lot about friendship. So in that podcast episode, we talk about how we met. We talk about the kind of the background, our history, our relationship history. And we talk about like what really helps along friendships and how can we create more friendships as grown-ups. And also, which I thought was really interesting for me, definitely, was exploring how our kind of high school mean girl stories come to play, like they kind of stick around even 20 years after we've left high school. So that was a really, really cool episode. And I really enjoyed recording it with Stace because she's just amazing energy. And I think we also happened upon quite a few nuggets as well that will help you if making friends as a grown-up is something that you're focusing on at the moment or you'd like to focus on more. In the top 10 countdown, number 8 in my countdown was the Business Trailblazers episode, and it was with Revy Jane on overcoming self-doubt. So Revy was really, really generous in this podcast episode talking about her entrepreneurial journey, also her journey as a, you know, becoming a mom. She's a mom of two beautiful girls. And something that I found incredibly touching in myself and Revy's conversation was how honest she was about self-doubt and how it has held her back in her business journey, and also the tools and the kind of the tricks of the trade that she has developed to really help her overcome that self-doubt. So that was a really, really cool episode, and I'm really glad it's in the top 10 because I have experienced myself firsthand, and also I've observed it in so many women in my community, just how debilitating self-doubt can be. And how, I mean, I've seen women park the most incredible business ideas because they just become overwhelmed with the self-doubt. So if there's one area that I believe we really need a toolkit to help us overcome, it's definitely getting over self-doubt. And as I said, Revy was so generous in that episode with sharing her experiences of that from her own life. Number 7 in the top 10 countdown was my episode on creating a money mindset last year. So in this episode, I speak very, very honestly about a massive financial curveball that I experienced in early 2018. I pretty much went in one day from riding the highest I'd ever been, riding the highest I'd ever ridden financially because I just sold my first business, to the very lowest I'd ever been financially because I got hit with massive debt, and it was a very long journey to get out of that. And probably took me 2 years to, first of all, to start fronting up to the fact that I needed to work on my money mindset, which before that had been very, very healthy. And I was very, very intentional last year about really rebuilding my money mindset. And in that episode, I share the full story as to what happened, and also the steps, the very painful steps sometimes that I took to start to rebuild my money mindset and some of the wins that I had had as a result of that. And, you know, this is where the podcast starts to really influence my book, because given that that episode was so positive and I got so much feedback on it and people commented on it for months after that episode went live, I knew that in the new book, I needed an entire chapter on money mindset because it was such a transformational experience for me last year. And I know that the tips that I shared in that episode have really helped other people, particularly other women as well. So that's a really nice example of how the podcast has influenced the book, which is pretty cool. So in that episode, I talk about the financial wipeout that I experienced. I talk in detail about the comeback that I created over those the few months before I recorded that episode. I also talked about a scarcity complex, which is quite a new concept I've realized for quite a few people. It's something I was quite familiar with, but it was quite a new concept for a lot of people. So yeah, that's a really good one to listen to understand what a scarcity complex is and how it can manifest in our lives. And yeah, I'm really, really proud of that episode. That was one of my, how can I say this? Sometimes I'll put out an episode and it's really healing and really reflective for me. And that was one of those. I really love that one. The next episode, so number 6 on my top 10 countdown, was another focus on organization with Wade. So we did a 2-part series a couple of years ago as part of that first life organization season. And we had so much to talk about and so much response to the first episode that I actually recorded a second one with him. So this was how we organize our relationship, part 1. And in this podcast, we are very, very honest about the full-onness of the two of us running our own business, also being parents to Lexi. This is before little sweet little Wilder came on the scene. And what we shared is that organization is one of the things that has really acted as a bedrock for us in our relationship. And in that conversation, we covered, and this is something I get a lot from my community, the challenge where one person, one partner, sometimes it's the woman, just saying, normally it's the woman, wants to get more organized, but the male partner isn't necessarily on board. So we talked about that challenge in that conversation. We also talked about our weekly rhythm and who does what during our weeks. We talk about the concept of anchoring. Wade talks about a productivity technique that he has sworn by for years. He's used that for like, I think about 8 years now. And we also talked about resentment, nagging, point scoring, and how they have impacted us in our relationship and how we've tried to move through them. And also, yeah, it turns into a bit of a far-reaching conversation. Then we talk about what we've each taught each other about business, the books that we've read that totally changed our relationship. So it starts off quite specifically on organization, and it kind of, starts to jump out more broadly from there. And that's purely based on the questions that I had from my community. I did a questions shout out before that episode, and we just went with the flow as to what people were keen to know more about in that episode. Number five in the top five countdown, this was actually way back from season two. This was the first episode of season two, and which was the life organization chapter season again. It's quite a few from this one, interestingly. And this was 5 weekly habits to step into your future self. This just went off. Sometimes a podcast episode will be a bit of a slow burn, and all of a sudden, you know, a month later, it really seems to be building traction. It's almost like people are telling each other about it. Whereas this one went big from day one. And it's, I mean, think about it, of 100 episodes, it's sitting in number 5. It's in the top 5%. So in this one, I talked about the 5 weekly habits that I use to really step into the version of me that I want to be. So I talk about the miracle morning, and I talk about, I won't give them all away, but the 5 weekly habits in that episode. And I credited those habits with enabling me to build 2 businesses, write 3 books, have my Lexi day every Wednesday, and also to stay healthy and energized. And what I really, really love about that episode and the habits that I share is they are so freaking doable. They are, you listen to that episode today and start actioning them tomorrow. It's not crazy stuff that's just going to take you forever to implement into your life. It's the quick, you know, clicking my fingers here, it's the quick wins and things that will really, really help you. So that's 5 weekly habits to step into your future self. That was episode number 5. How funny, it's 5 weekly habits. That's very neat. Number 4 in the top 10 countdown was upgrading your money story with Denise Duffield Thomas. So this was a really beautiful full circle moment, because I had shared a lot of Denise's work in my own money mindset episode that I recorded solo the year before. So sorry, Denise was last year and my money mindset was the year before. And if you're not familiar with Denise's work, so Denise Duffield Thomas is a money mindset coach. I followed her work for, 3 years now, I think. And I just love her, love what she stands for, love her books. And I was so excited to have her on the show, because I knew that money was a real hot topic, given that the money mindset episode had gone so well previously. And purely selfishly, I was just a mad fangirl. I just wanted the chance to talk to her on the show. So in that episode, she is just so refreshingly honest and to the point. She talks about the difference between focusing on your money mindset versus the how-to of building wealth. She's very clear, I don't have the how-to to build wealth, because you could have all the most amazing financial advice in the world, but it's not going to make any difference at all if you don't actually fundamentally believe that you deserve to be wealthy. She also talks about the concept of money blocks. I share some of my own money blocks in that one as well. She talks, this was really powerful, about how we can help our kids to shape positive money stories. She also talks about, and I was really keen with this one, because I know from personal experience that I have actively avoided podcast episode, books, Instagram posts about money, because I was in such a shit spot with that whole space myself for so long that it was really triggering for me to listen to someone else talking about how to make money. So I was really keen with this episode for it to also speak to people who were in that crappy, dark, hopeless place that I was in for a couple of years when it came to my own money story. So she actually shares the one thing that she recommends you do if you're in that horrible, low vibe, overwhelmed situation when it comes to your finance. And we were both really clear in the episode, just really sending love to those people, because it's not fun. And maybe you listening right now are experiencing that in your life right now. And if there's one thing I would love to invite you to do, it's to listen to that conversation with Denise. Go back and listen to my own money mindset episode as well, because it's life-changing. You know, what we share, and we know it, because myself and Denise have both lived it and both experienced it. And I am so appreciative of her for how generous she is with her knowledge. And I'm a part of her money bootcamp group, and I'm seeing firsthand every day in the Facebook group the wins that her community have as a result of practicing her ideas. So number 4 is upgrading your money story with Denise Duffield Thomas. Number 3, so we're getting into the top 3. So As I said, if you're a long time listener, you probably know what number one is going to be. But number three is that sex episode, the follow up. So just for context, there was an episode that I recorded in, I think it was August last year, that episode went live, August, September. And it was part of the Step Into You season. And I shared an episode on how I stepped into my sexuality last year. So it's that was the, by far and away, the hardest episode to record for me. The second hardest was the Money Mindset episode the year before, because it just felt so personal. I felt like I was talking about something that we women don't really, I don't think we talk about at all. If we're very, very lucky, maybe there's some friends or sisters that we can talk honestly about about that topic. So I was really, really, really nervous about that episode. And I put it out there and it just went crazy. I'll talk a bit more about that specific episode in a few minutes. But it went so crazy that I had to record a follow-up because I got hundreds of messages from women. Like, I'm not even joking, hundreds and hundreds of messages. And even now I'll be having a conversation maybe with a mentee. Just last week, someone brought up that episode with me again. And interestingly, she had applied what I had shared in that episode, she had applied it to her business life and the lessons that I had shared within that, which is pretty cool. So in this episode, I share the feedback that I'd gotten from women, the three biggest themes, the key themes of feedback that I had gotten from women after that first episode on my sexuality. And I also talk about some of the questions. So there was quite a few questions as a result of that first episode. So I answer those questions in that episode as well. Number two, and this is pretty cool because this was the third episode, of the whole show was this episode, and it was How to Sell Like Crazy with Sabri Subi. So this was season one, episode three, and I'm very fortunate to call Sabri a friend. He is an amazing entrepreneur, author, just general smart thinker about life. And he is probably the most driven person I have ever met. He's incredible. And he's also an absolute guru when it comes to sales. And I know for many of my community chances are that they've got their own businesses, sales is one of those real pain points for them in their business. So I was really excited to have Sabri, first of all, as one of those experts with my group all those moons ago, but then also to actually be able to repurpose that episode and share it as a conversation on the show, because what he shares in there is just so incredibly helpful. And in that episode, he really talks about, I feel like he demystifies sales, and he really shares a lot of messages that are help us to get really empowered about sales. He talks about online marketing, his biggest lessons on that as well. And I feel like sales is one of those areas. I mean, I know for me, probably the author that I learned most about sales from is, as well as Sabri, is Chet Holmes, who wrote an incredible book called The Ultimate Sales Machine, which I read, I think, in year one of my first business. And the thing about sales is it's an ever-present block and opportunity in our businesses. You know, any business depends on sales to remain in business and to grow and to provide the lifestyle that the founder or the owner of that business wants to experience. So it's one of those areas that you can never be too good at sales. I'm still constantly learning about what works in my business, and it's an area that I've really committed a lot over the years to learning more about. And I would credit my learning of sales and my hunger for learning about sales as to why I was able to build a multi-million dollar business with my first business. So sales and marketing and just general getting shit done in business, if that's your jam, you will love that conversation with Sabri. So the last episode in my countdown, you've probably guessed, it's the How I Stepped Into My Sexuality episode. And that has had roughly four times the amount of downloads of any other episode. It went that gangbusters. And the overwhelming feedback I got from that is from women saying, I'm not alone. Of saying, thank you so much for sharing a story, because I thought I was the only one that experienced this. And I'm so grateful to you for sharing that, because that is, it's game changing. And I share in the episode in quite painful detail at times, my experience of feeling really disconnected from my own sexuality. And the biggest realizations, three major realizations that I had as part of that experience that just game changed everything for me. I then talk about the step-by-step process of what I did in order to reconnect with my sexuality. And it's pretty cool. Wade, bless his heart, was up for coming in and having a quick chat with me at the end. I was recording that episode one Tuesday night, and he came in and joined me in the office and shared his perspective as well. So it's a really cool opportunity to hear, of course, in depth about me and my experience, but then also the impact that that experience that I had on our relationship and his perspective from being in a relationship with me and observing that. So I know that the reason the downloads were so high on that episode is that so many women shared it and asked their partners. I know a lot of women actually listen to it either with their partners. Stace listened to it in the car with her husband, which is pretty, I was like, oh, that's really cool. But all your friends, that's weird. I can't decide how I feel about that. I know a lot of women listen to it with their partners. And I know a lot of women sent it to their partners to listen to. And I know that many women listened to that episode 3 or 4 times. So it was that impactful, I guess. Yeah, it was definitely impactful. And I think for me, that was the money mindset episodes. And that episode around sexuality, to me, felt like the most altruistic giving back episodes that I've done as part of the entire show. And it's an incredible privilege to be able to have a life experience, to be able to package that up as an episode and to have the platform to share that. And then to have the almost like the ripple effect of the impact of me sharing my story and how it helps other people. It's epic privilege. I mean, it's not wasted on me for a second how fortunate I am to have that. So if sexuality is an episode, is something that you are keen to learn more about, if you would like to hear me be quite embarrassed on a podcast episode, then you are very, very welcome to go back and listen to that episode, the How I Stepped Into My Sexuality episode. I do want to be really clear on that one as well, that while I was really embarrassed recording it, I wish I had known the impact it was going to have when I was recording it. I was saying this to Sally, my friend Sally Maha, Sally and Maha recently. And I wish I had known the impact, because I think I would have been so much more confident recording it. But as Sally said, she's like, it was just so beautifully vulnerable. I could hear your vulnerability in the episode. And I really, really appreciated that you were prepared to go there for me and for your other listeners. So that is number one of the countdown. Now, I messaged AJ. I was like, shit, I should have asked you this before I started recording this episode. I sent AJ on my team a message to say, look, how many downloads has the podcast actually had over 100 episodes? And she said it's had 150,000 downloads, which is pretty, pretty amazing. And I'm a big fan of neat numbers. So to hit 150 downloads on the 100th episode, I'm just, well, 99 episodes, I'm pretty, pretty happy about that. So thank you so much to everyone who has listened to the show and everything that you've brought to it for me. I obviously wouldn't have a podcast if people weren't listening to it. So the reason that it's there and the reason that I get to continue sharing what I've shared is very much for you. So thank you so much. And as always, I love hearing from you as to what you would like future seasons to be on and future episodes. It's really, really exciting for me to hear that. And I wanted to wrap up this episode by passing on my advice. So if you know how I operate now in business and with my content, I really like to have experiences, package up my learnings and pass them on to others who might be maybe just a bit behind me on whatever journey that is that I'm on. And I had some advice for people, and my approach to this advice is what I wish I'd been able to go back and tell myself 4 or 5 years ago. Because I really procrastinated for a long time on starting this show. There was for 2 years, it was on the must-do list to start a podcast. And then with the new book coming out and the new website launching, it kind of felt like as good a time as any to just get started. So what I would go back and say to my past self, and what I would say to you, if you're sitting there with an idea for a podcast, is to just start. Just dive in. Done is better than perfect. And I think there are so many incredibly polished podcasts out there. I mean, if I think about Melissa Ambrosini's, for example, I think about Tim Ferriss's, I think about who else do I listen to? Like Oprah's podcast, I love. Glennon Doyle's podcast is just so beautifully polished. It can be quite demotivating if we see how polished and how beautiful and perfect, inverted commas, someone else's podcast is. And maybe even some of you feel like that about mine, that Lorraine's is kind of further ahead from anything that I could ever create. And I just really want to beseech you just to get started, because it's never going to be perfect. Like this, even this episode, my 100th episode, it's not going to be perfect what I'm creating, but I'd much rather sit down, record this when I'm feeling a bit tired because I was up too early this morning, with a green tea and just put something out there rather than waiting for this time to be perfect, because my 100th episode isn't going to come around again. That's it. This is a moment in time that won't come again. And I would much rather celebrate and mark this with something that's slightly imperfect than, or maybe very imperfect, you decide. you can make be the judge on that one. But just started, as I said, I procrastinated on starting this show for 2 years. And while I'm not a believer in having regrets, I do wonder if I had started this 2 years before and I'm on my 200th episode now, you know, what would my business look like? So just start. I waited for 2 years and I didn't need to do that. I could have easily started this 2 years ago. The other thing I wanted to say, just as like a bridging point, particularly for those of you who are in business and you're thinking about starting your podcast as potentially a revenue stream, I haven't pursued making my podcast a revenue stream. And that's for a few different reasons. One is that I feel like I talk to so many different topics that it would be difficult for me to say, okay, cool, this is a particular type of brand that I could lock in every single week, for example. So I think that's one thing that I've found tricky. But also I feel this podcast, while it doesn't earn money, as a revenue stream in its own right, it massively helps the other areas of my business. So if you've studied sales, you might be familiar with the idea of buyer's resistance. And your first job as a salesperson is to help lower your buyer's resistance. And you'll experience buyer's resistance if you're just having a little perusal of a closed store and a kind of slightly fake, there's a particular chain of stores that I find have, oh, they're not all fake, but some of them feel very fake. When I go in and they're like, hey, can I help you with anything? And it just gets my hackles up, because I was like, I'm just having a look. I don't need anyone selling to me right now. I just want to have a look in peace. So that's buyer's resistance at play. So you might have it if, for example, you're, I'm just going to give you a totally different example. You're dealing with a mortgage broker and you know that they want to sell you their products, which might be mortgage. I'm just talking about this because we're dealing with our incredible mortgage broker at the moment. So they're going to need to lower buyer's resistance before you can actually trust them in order to invest in their product. So what I find is the podcast is an incredible way at lowering my buyer's resistance. And I don't want that to sound manipulative in any way. But what I mean by that is the reason we will often have buyer's resistance if we want to invest in something, but we're not quite sure if we should or not, is it just comes down to trust, and we just haven't got trust with that particular salesperson. You will all have someone in your life, and everyone listening is going to have someone in their life that if they tried to sell you, you were living in Alaska and they tried to sell you ice, you would buy it because you trust them so much. And what I find is that the podcast is an incredible way for people to feel that trust in me, because as I said already earlier on this episode, it's such an intimate channel that people feel like I'm really talking to them. And that's what I love about the podcast medium. But also they get a really good idea of who I am and what I stand for. I get several people saying, I've just binged, I've gone right back to the start and listened to all of your episodes again. So when someone does that, every time they listen to me, and hopefully they're liking what I'm sharing, is they're building that trust in me. And then that means that their buyer's resistance to anything I might sell further down the track is lowered, whether that is a program or it's mentoring with me or it's a speaking gig. And it has amazed me over the years how much work has come through the podcast. So I've got CEOs who listen to my podcast who have come to me either for mentoring for them personally or to come in and do speaking gigs. So there's a CEO who listens to my show who, because she followed me, it ended up in me having 3 paid speaking gigs all around Australia. So that's been really, really interesting for me. So if you are in business and you're thinking about starting a podcast, my advice to you would be not to go into it as this is going to be a revenue stream, but more initially think about it as a way of helping your audience trust you, which is then going to help your paid products as well. The second thing I would say is to get good tech support. I would have NFI, how to go and create my podcast and set it up and get it approved by Apple Store and all of the things. I wouldn't have a clue. So from day one, I invested in Podcast VA and they've managed the show for the last 2 years. And I don't have to think about it. My team, so Bianca and AJ and my team are behind the scenes making it all happen. So my job is to create awesome, hopefully, podcast episodes. And I've got a team who looks after it from there. I cannot even tell you how much of the joy it would take away from me if I had to also manage the tech. Biggest advice, just get tech support. Get someone who knows how to do it. The other thing I would say as well is, as I already said, I really tested the water with the seasons because I didn't want to lock into a particular topic from day one. That has really, really helped me. And now, interestingly, I'm on my 11th season. And finally, it's like, it's clear. What I want to create with the show is a show that supports female entrepreneurs on how to build their businesses, but also supports them in all the other areas of their lives, which contribute towards them having the energy and the mindset to building businesses. So whether that's mindset, relationships, health, spirituality, I'm there for all of that. And that's going to be the future shape of this show, which is pretty cool to just share that with you on the 100th episode. But if you're not clear on what you are here to talk about, and there's a lot of different areas potentially that you could talk to, just focus on seasons. It just gives you that flexibility. And also it doesn't lock you into every single week having to create a podcast episode. You might just be on season for 2 months and then take a break for, if you've got kids, school holidays and so on. The last tip that I would have for you in podcasting, what I've learned, is to batch your podcast seasons, your episodes, because it really sucks the joy out of podcasting when every single week you're kind of working against the clock to get your episode ready to go. So my favorite seasons have been the ones that have been batched. It just makes it so easy. I can inject all my creative energy at the start and then know that 10 episodes are locked and loaded just for the ready for the team just to disseminate and get live and for me to talk about as and when they come live. It's a massive energy drain when I don't have them batched. So right now I'm in the process of batching. So by the middle of October, I will have all of the rest of the season batched up until the end of December. And notwithstanding my Q&A ones and also my business highs and lows, because that will be the very last episode of this season. If batching is just too hard and that just for whatever reason eludes you, what you could do is have an SOS episode. So this is how professional I am. I thought my 100th episode was this Friday as I'm recording this. It's actually not till the week after. There was a very long exchange on our team WhatsApp group yesterday and this morning about when the actual 100th episode was landing. There was a bit of a mix up with numbering the episodes. But what I have is that I've got 3 episodes that are ready. They're locked and loaded to go. There was one that wasn't meant to go until the week after this episode is actually going out. So I just messaged the team this morning and said, just bring that one forward. So almost having an SOS episode up your sleeve is a really, really good thing to do. Just if there's a week that for whatever reason, work gets really busy or you're on holiday or you get sick or someone in your family gets sick, your partner gets sick, just to have an SOS episode up your sleeve, it just takes the pressure off because every week that I've said I've done an episode, I've done it. And sometimes that has been a last minute job and it's not fun. As I said, it takes the joy of it epically. So have them batched or else do an SOS episode. I find that to be both really, really, really helpful. Okay, I've almost finished my pot of tea and we are at the end of this episode. So again, thank you so much to all of you, whether this is your first episode you're listening to or your 100th. Wow, I wonder if there's any who's listened to 100. I should have like a loyalty card. We get a little like in a cafe, you get a little hole punched out of your card every time you listen to an episode. But thank you so much, really, from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you so much to every guest who has been on the episodes as well with me. And to everyone who's passed on, who's left a review, who has rated it, who's introduced a friend to my podcast. I know a lot of you have done that. So yeah, big love, goosebumps for you right now. Thank you so, so much, because it's because of your love and commitment and loyalty to the show that has built it into what it is now. And I'm just so excited for the next 100 episodes and kind of curious to know, first of all, when will the 200th episode be and what will I be talking about then? You know, this show has been my partner for, you know, a lot in life. We've had a baby, we've built businesses, we've had myself and Wade, like a lot of challenges and changes to our life, whether it's moving houses or everything. This podcast has been a real constant in that, and you, the listeners, have been that constant as well. So thank you so much for joining this week. Normal entrepreneurship service will resume next week with another entrepreneurship episode. But thank you so much again for joining. And I really hope that there's been some nuggets in here for you. And if there was an episode maybe in that top 10 countdown that you missed, that maybe, yeah, you could go jump and have a little search and have a listen to a new episode that maybe you've missed in the past as well. So thank you. Much love. I'll talk to you again next week. thank you for being part of this week's episode. It was remarkable to have you. I am always keen to hear your thoughts, questions, ideas, and suggestions for future topics for the podcast. So please get in touch on Instagram. My handle is @LorraineRemarks and through my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au. If you're enjoying what I'm putting out here, please do rate, review, or subscribe to the podcast so more people can find out about it and we can build this special community. Or even better, do all three. Chat to you next week.